City. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Focus on Health radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by Brent, by our friends at Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you. I'm being joined today with Lori Foster from Van Deese Medical Center. Lori, very good morning to you.
Good morning to you too, Pat. It's great to be back in the station.
Absolutely. We had you last week for a recording, but today we have something very special on our Van Deese Medical Center show today. I'm thinking about our next show afterwards, but we're talking all about Alzheimer's disease. We have a very special guest that'll be joining us in just a few minutes, Lori, but we got some things happening at Van Deese Medical Center, don't we?
We do. I have a couple of announcements that I would like to share. The Van Deese Medical Center Hospital Auxiliary recently awarded four $1,000 scholarships to students interested in pursuing a career in healthcare. The 2024 Van Deese Medical Center Hospital Auxiliary Scholarship winners include Tana Thompson of Ellsworth. She is a 2024 South Hamilton High School graduate pursuing a nursing degree at Des Moines Area Community College. Madison Babington, a 2024 Webster City High School graduate pursuing a degree in nursing from Iowa Central Community College. Jordan Tomei, a 2024 graduate of Webster City High School, also pursuing a nursing degree from Iowa Central Community College. And Mackenzie Mishler, who is a 2023 Webster City High School graduate who is pursuing a nursing degree at Iowa Central Community College. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to these four ladies. And this is a unique year for us to have all of our scholarship winners pursuing nursing, which is fantastic. There is such a need for so many healthcare careers, but especially in nursing. So I love that we're grooming four to join the nursing profession.
Good.
I do want to mention that the Hospital Auxiliary was organized in August of 1972. The first educational scholarships were given in 1977, and they've awarded over 150 scholarships throughout the years to individuals entering the healthcare field. Funds to support the scholarships come from proceeds received through gift shop sales, no-bake, bake sales, fundraising events, and other projects hosted by the Auxiliary.
All right.
Yes.
So congratulations to all those participants. Of course, we had the big SALT meeting last week.
Yes, we did.
With Mark Domes.
Yes, we did. We hosted that in Stanhope, and we had a nice group there. We had some new faces there as well.
Good.
Which was really nice, and Mark did a terrific job with his program, as usual. So thanks to Mark. He's also one of our Van Deese Medical Center volunteers for doing that program. And Doug and I are working on the next program in August. So those SALT meetings are held the first Thursday every other month in different locations throughout Hamilton County.
They'll be on the 1st of August for the first program.
That's correct.
Thursday, August 1st.
Yes, yes. And I do have one other announcement that I would like to share with our listeners. We have our Webster City Community Blood Drive going on tomorrow, June 13th. It's from 12:30 to 5:30, and it will be held at Van Deese Medical Center in the clinic boardroom. So this is a change in the original location. One of our churches is undergoing some renovation, and so we opened up our clinic boardroom, and appointments are encouraged for the blood drives. You can call LifeServe at 800-287-4903, or very easy, visit their website at lifeservebloodcenter.org. And I do want to thank the Auxiliary. They host the blood drives, and then we want to give a big thank you to Scooters here in Webster City for being our corporate sponsor for the blood drives. Mm-hmm. They provide the delicious refreshments and the wonderful cookies that our donors so love. So thank you to Scooters once again.
Very good.
Yes. And I think we're ready to start into our show.
Yes, talking all about Alzheimer's disease. This month of June is being recognized as Alzheimer's Awareness Month, also about Brain Awareness Month, health-wise, and so forth. And there'll be a lot of good programs going on. We have a very special guest joining us today, Lori, so I'll let you carry on here.
Very good. Thank you, Pat.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, it's a perfect time to be talking about this topic. June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. Worldwide, more than 55 million people are living with Alzheimer's or another dementia. So here to talk about Alzheimer's and dementia, and then learn how to take charge of your brain health or learn more for one of your loved ones, we have Lauren Livingston, who is the Director of Communications at the Alzheimer's Association Iowa Chapter in Des Moines. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here on the program with us this morning. It is a wonderful time to be talking about this, raise additional awareness. So we do thank you for being a guest on the program. I think a great place to start for our listeners is maybe to just share what Alzheimer's disease is and maybe talk about the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia.
Sure, yeah. So Alzheimer's disease is actually a type of dementia, so you can kind of think about it as an umbrella. There's an overarching disease, dementia, and there are several different types of dementia, including Alzheimer's disease. And Alzheimer's disease is the most prevalent kind. It accounts for about 70 to 80% of all dementia. And Alzheimer's disease, it's a general term for memory loss and loss of other cognitive abilities that eventually become serious enough to interfere with daily life. So it's not a normal part of aging. That's a really important thing that we try to emphasize. You know, memory, some sort of memory loss as you get older is normal, but if it goes past the point of being able to conduct the regular activities of your life, that's when you should start to be a little bit concerned, and it could be Alzheimer's disease or another type of dementia.
Right, and that would be the time that someone should consider going to their primary care provider if they are having some concerns. And I appreciate you stressing it. There is a difference between just normal aging, which we all hope to go through, but we have those times. I mean, me included, that I'm trying to think of a name, and I cannot think of a name. And, you know, it comes to me at the very oddest time. So there is a difference between that and what we're talking about with Alzheimer's and dementia. So what maybe should people be looking for? What are some warning signs?
Yeah, so the number one thing that people think of course, is that memory loss. But it's, like you said, more than just forgetting a name or maybe forgetting where you left your phone or your keys. But if you're forgetting, you know, how to do normal daily tasks, like how to maybe work the microwave or the washing machine, how to get home from the grocery store that you've been going to for years and years, things like that that you've known your entire life that now you are forgetting and not able to do daily tasks. Also, if you notice someone repeating the same questions or the same thing over and over again, especially in a short period of time, maybe in the same conversation or the same day, that can be a sign that they could have early stages of Alzheimer's disease or dementia. Another thing to look for is if you are having trouble managing your calendar. If you have a calendar and you make appointments and you look at your calendar and you have it easily accessible, but you're still not able to realize when you have appointments or meetings to go to. Oftentimes, people with Alzheimer's disease or dementia will have trouble with dates and times. They kind of get confused. That sense of time changes as you develop Alzheimer's disease or dementia. And then a third thing I'll mention is this is especially if you're looking at a loved one. If you notice they're starting to withdraw from social activities, maybe they're not coming to family events as often or getting together with their friends as much as they used to, that can be a sign too, especially you know, if they're in the earlier stages and they might know something is going on with themselves, they might be embarrassed to go to these social events because they don't want to maybe say the same thing over and over or show signs that they might be struggling with cognitive abilities. So those are just a few, but there is a list of 10 most common signs that you can look over at alz.org/10signs, and that'll give you a really good comprehensive list. Even if you're seeing just one of these, in yourself or a loved one, it is really important to go to the doctor sooner than later and get that cognitive testing done.
And it is scary. Like you say, Lauren, if somebody is experiencing this, you know, their first thought may be, oh gosh, you know, I don't know if I want to say anything to anyone. And I can see where people will pull back from being out in the public with others because they feel that they might be extremely forgetful and might not exactly feel real comfortable. But, you know, that's where a support system is really huge, and we have to look out for each other and keep an eye on loved ones and know that there is support available. And so we're going to be talking more about that in the program today, too. Let's talk a little bit about the research for Alzheimer's disease. Is there some new information? What's the latest?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, in the last few years, it's been a really exciting and much more hopeful time in Alzheimer's research because we're actually coming out with treatments and finding out more about how you could potentially prevent cognitive decline in the future. We've learned so much more in the last 3 to 5 years than we have in the last 20 years that we've been doing Alzheimer's research. So it's a really groundbreaking time. One of the most exciting things is there are actually treatments available that have never been available before. There are two FDA-approved treatments. The main one is called Leqembi, and there's another one hopefully very soon on the horizon that was just kind of given a potential green light to be FDA-approved. It's also go through that process, but the treatments are specifically right now for people with early Alzheimer's disease. So that's why it's so important if you're noticing those signs to get to the doctor early. And if you or your loved one does have Alzheimer's disease, to get that diagnosis as early as possible. So you do have that option for treatment if you and your doctor think that's the best choice. So in the past, a lot of people would think, well, what's the point of even getting a diagnosis? There's nothing we can do about it. But now there is, and that's so exciting. And there's so many other treatments that are being developed right now for early stage, but the later stages as well. So there's lots of hope right now. And another big area of research, like I had mentioned, is the preventative side. We're learning the different lifestyle changes that you can make that can reduce or decrease your chances of cognitive decline in the future. And a lot of those are things that you think of, you know, just to keep healthy normally, like eating well, exercising. But some other ones are getting enough sleep. That's really important. Keeping your stress down. Of course, we all know that's important. Hard to do, but important. And then staying social, you know, that can be something, like we said, that you might want to pull back from, but it is really important to stay social and interacting with that support system who can be there for you. So there's lots of different things that you can do. You can find a lot more information on those healthy habits at alz.org/healthy habits to help decrease your chances of cognitive decline. And then the third thing I'll mention, which is really very exciting, is there's a blood test that we're hoping in the very near future we'll see will be available in doctor's offices that can help diagnose Alzheimer's disease. And that's a big deal because right now the way that you get a formal diagnosis is often through a PET scan. And that, A, is hard to access, especially in some rural areas of the state, and also it can be very expensive. But this blood test that is showing very promising results would be much more accessible for people to get and much more affordable as well, we're hoping. So those are a few things that are very exciting going on in the research world right now. There's lots of different research symposiums that go on throughout the year, but one of the biggest ones coming up at the end of July, the Alzheimer's Association International Conference, and we're hoping to hear about some new really exciting research as well from that.
Lauren, this is such encouraging news to hear. You know, I have made it a point. I can't say that every year we have a program about Alzheimer's, but I do like to cover it during our program series. It's great education and awareness. And I'll have to say, I think this is one of the first times that I've heard this research that is taking place and that there actually are treatments available. And I don't know if you know yet if treatment helps to just to manage it and maybe not allow the disease to progress further. Is that kind of what they're finding?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's not a cure yet. It won't take away the Alzheimer's disease, but that's exactly right. It will slow the progression. So it will give someone living with the disease hopefully many more, or at least some more years to be more cognitively aware and be able to manage themselves and be with their family and have more quality years before that decline starts to happen.
Absolutely. And hearing about the blood test to diagnose, I think that is just terrific news. I'm extremely excited to hear just about the research that's being done. Like I said, very encouraging news. So thank you for sharing that. And I do appreciate you sharing, too, things that people can do to prevent the onset of that, because I think a lot of people do think about that. Even kind of testing their mind and doing, crossword puzzles, or maybe it's staying active. I mean, there's a number of things even on our phones. Wordle is one that I do and many people do, but it, just those little things that kind of test your mind and keep your memory and your brain kind of, I don't know, just challenged a little bit.
That best describes it right there.
Yes.
Yeah, so, that's exactly right. Those little games, they're fun, but they're also good for you. So
yeah.
Well.
Yes. Well, great, great news to hear. Let's talk about, your position within Alzheimer's Association. You have availability to so many resources, and I want our listeners to know that there is help, there is support that's available. Talk a little bit about some of those resources and how people can go about finding more information.
Sure. Yeah, all of the resources from the Alzheimer's Association are completely free and available to anyone who is interested. Some of the most probably helpful ones, our website is a wonderful place to start if you are suspecting that you might have signs, or if you get a diagnosis and you're like, well, what do I do next? Our website has so much information, anything you could think of about the disease. So alz.org/Iowa is the local site where you can find a lot of our local resources, like education programs. There's a whole bunch of education programs that we do throughout the state at different places in your community, libraries, hospitals. Just anyone can sign up for an education program. That's something you can even encourage maybe your employer to host as an education program, and you'll learn about things like those 10 warning signs, but also you'll learn about, there's one program called Dementia Conversations that's really, really good and talks about some of those really difficult things that you face, that you may face with a loved one who might not want to stop driving or might not be interested in going to the doctor because they're scared, and how to approach those conversations that can be so, so difficult and just overwhelming to even think about. So those education programs are wonderful. You can find those, the local ones that are available at alz.org/Iowa. And we also have support groups as well throughout the state. Those support groups are for caregivers who are caring for a loved one at home or who has gone to a care facility, because caregivers, the disease doesn't just affect the person living with the disease. It affects their whole family and friend network, especially those that are caring for them every single day. That's such a hard job, and it's important for caregivers to have other people who really understand what they're going through to talk about those challenges and how to overcome some of those things day to day. So those support groups are wonderful. We have I can't remember how many now throughout the state, but there's many throughout the state, so you can check that out on our website as well. And then the last one I'll mention is a 24/7 helpline at 800-272-3900. That's also listed at the top of our website. You can find it really easily. And that is staffed with trained clinicians 24/7, 365 days a year, that you can call at any time with any sort of question about the disease. If you maybe are having struggles caring for your loved one, if you're having questions about how to do things as a caregiver or find help as a caregiver, or even just find those local resources, they can help. They're there to help.
Great. Thank you, Lauren. And I do have to say to our listeners, it is a great website. Check it out. I certainly, that's how I was able to get connected with Lauren. But there is just a wealth of information on their website. And I can't say enough about the support groups and the importance of those. These are key for, just like you said, Lauren, those family members, friends, loved ones that are supporting someone with Alzheimer's, because that's the one thing that no matter if you're caring for someone with any chronic disease, self-care is really, really important. I don't think people realize when they're in that caregiver role how much it is just, there's a lot with that and those support groups. You're with people that are going through similar things, and it's taking care of you so that you can be better for your loved ones. So I love to hear that there's many support groups available, so many terrific resources. So I encourage people, again, check out the website, alz.org/Iowa. So, Lauren, how can people get involved to support Alzheimer's Association and even create more awareness?
Sure, yeah. So all of those resources that I mentioned are funded through our fundraising events, and that's a way that you can get involved. And the Alzheimer's Association also funds millions and millions of dollars of research every single year. So that research we were talking about earlier, a lot of that is funded by the Alzheimer's Association, and all that funding comes from our volunteers and donors and supporters. So there are several different types of events that you can be involved in, either as a volunteer or a fundraiser, and our biggest one is the Walk to End Alzheimer's. If you've heard of that before, it's a really great event. We do have one in Fort Dodge, so pretty near to where you are at, mm-hmm. and it is every fall, and I can't remember the exact date off the top of my head, but you can find that at alz.org/walk. So you can get involved, sign up a team for the walk, start fundraising. You can also, actually in June, we have a do-it-yourself fundraising campaign called The Longest Day, and we kind of celebrate it on the longest day of the year on June 20th, but you can do a DIY fundraiser at any time. It could be a golf tournament or a bake sale, or you have someone who does a scrapbooking club, and you collect donations, and then you can donate that back to the association. So those are some great ways to support the Alzheimer's Association. And if you are interested in getting involved, even as a volunteer, you can always reach out to us locally. You can find our contact information at alz.org/Iowa. And you can find out about all the different volunteer opportunities as well at alz.org/Iowa/volunteer. So we have really anything you can think of that you're interested in helping with, we have a volunteer role for that. And we can't do what we do without that funding, but without our volunteers either. Our volunteers help the organization run every single day. They help those events be put on. They help lead those support groups and host those community education. So they are just the heartbeat of the association, and we couldn't do what we do without them.
So, so very true. And I do want to mention, Lauren, you talked about the Walk to End Alzheimer's. You know, Fort Dodge is a neighboring community. We have a satellite clinic there. They do have their walk posted. It is September 8th, so it is this fall, and people can find more information online, and they've got information there. And I'd love to hear all the opportunities in which people can get involved, help support Alzheimer's Association, and just in finding a cure and help support those research dollars as well. Lauren, as we look to finish up the program, any other information that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, another thing I just thought of as far as volunteers go is a big part of what we do is advocating at the state and federal level for research dollars from the National Institutes of Health, and also for policies to help caregivers and people facing Alzheimer's disease or dementia. So that's another great way you can get involved. And even if it's something you've never done before, it can sound kind of scary, but it is not. It's a wonderful way to share your story with your state and federal legislators and really make a huge difference. And our advocacy arm of the organization is called the Alzheimer's Impact Movement. So you can find more information about that at alz.org/AIM, AIM, or alzimpact.org. So that's another great way you can get involved too. And as far as the walk goes, thanks for finding that date. I appreciate that. We have 19 walks throughout the state, actually. So so many walks going on, so it's hard to keep those dates straight. But if you've never been to the walk before, it is such a wonderful event to just be with other caregivers and people who are affected by the disease to really celebrate and honor those who are going through it. So if you've never been before, it doesn't cost anything to go. If you'd like to fundraise, we would love that, but we would love to have you either way. So yeah, you can find out more information, like we said, at alz.org/walk. But really, if you're interested in reaching out for any other information, that the website that we mentioned is great. And also, I'll just plug that 24/7 helpline again at 800-272-3900. Truly, you can call it and ask any question you can think of. And also, we have they have staff available in, I believe it's over 200 languages. So they have, especially Spanish-speaking translators are available at all times, and then we have translators available for many other languages too. So it's not just accessible to English speakers, but we want to be accessible to everyone.
Wonderful. Lauren, you have just been terrific. You've provided some great education, great resources for our listeners, for Alzheimer's disease. We appreciate your work with the association and all that you and your team do to create more awareness for Alzheimer's. And we just encourage people, again, early detection is most important. And there is help available. There are resources. As Lauren shared, you can go to alz.org/Iowa. That 24/7 helpline again is 1-800-272-3900. Lauren, thanks so much for being a guest on the show, and thanks for everything you do to support Alzheimer's disease.
Well, thank you so much for having me and helping spread this awareness. We really appreciate it.
Yes. That's good. Great opportunity, like you said, to create more awareness and share the education and resources that are available.
All right. Lauren, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care. All right. Lauren Livingston from the Alzheimer's Association there this morning.
Yes, terrific show.
Yes, indeed. So what's coming up next week?
Let me think. We've got a couple that are standing in the wings, so it may be a recorded show.
Okay.
But we do have a guest that's probably going to be on during the month of June, and he loves coming to do the show live. So one of the next 2 weeks, we'll probably be back in the studio live, and another one is more than likely going to be with one of our providers and will be a recorded show.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Lori Foster, thanks very much.
Thank you, Pat. You have a wonderful day.
You do the same. Thanks, Lori. Thanks. And that does it for Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you. For Lori Foster, I'm Pat Powers.